We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
A huge sports day. Prep Bowl finales over at U.S. Bank Stadium. We had four champions crowned on Friday. And we have one already crowned today in the nine-man championship. Leroy Ostrander beat Fertile Beltrami 58-8. And Dazzle Cocato on their way. They lead Plainview Elgin Millville in the 3A title game 28-14 with just under 6 minutes to go in the game. And then one game to go at Prep Bowl, scheduled to start around 4 o'clock today. Number one-ranked Mankato West takes on Matamidi in that 5A title. Quick recap of what happened on Saturday over at Prep Bowl, or I should say on Friday at Prep Bowl. Four champions were crowned. In 1A, Mayor Lutheran beat Mineota 20-14. Chatfield knocked off West Central Ashby 14-13. In 2A, in 4A, Hutchinson rolled over Cass and Manorville 42-14, and in the nightcap, the big school 6A championship, Lakeville South beat Maple Grove 13-7. The Wild, big winners in a matinee on Friday in St. Paul over their rival Winnipeg Jets 7-1. The Timberwolves got beat by Charlotte. We'll have more on the Timberwolves coming up. Vikes on the road, 49ers. We'll talk more about that later on in the hour. Speaking of the Timberwolves, they're in Philly tonight. Our pregame show begins at 4:30, tip just after 5 o'clock. Let's get back to the Wild. Sarah McClellan covers for the Star Tribune. And Sarah, good to visit with you.
Yeah, same to you.
Yeah, the Wild certainly had a good day after Thanksgiving, routing the Winnipeg Jets 7-1. They jumped out quick. Alex Goligoski got a quick goal in less than a minute into the game, and they rolled 7-1 the victory. Quite a turnaround from the Wild, where they had their troubles on that road trip east.
Yeah, this was kind of a game that, you know, the Wild hasn't produced much this season. You know, there's been a lot of come-from-behind victories and overtime finishes and shootouts and just these rallies. And so this was kind of a different tactic to see the team score early and then continue to pull away and just play really strong with a lead. That's something that's kind of been a work in progress, and I know it's been on the team's radar to try to capitalize on you know, getting a lead, establishing that early advantage, but then continuing to build on it. And that was certainly the case against Winnipeg. I think you could probably argue that was probably the team's most complete, cohesive effort of the season. Just, you know, kind of top to bottom, no real letdowns, no wavering. And so to set the tone of, you know, at the beginning of this five-game homestand with that type of win, coming off, you know, another lengthy road trip, certainly a good start for the Wild, you know, going into this next week with more games at home.
Yeah, and when you look at what the Wild have been able to do, when there has been maybe a bad game or a tougher stretch, they've been able to bounce back. And this is another circumstance for the Minnesota Wild where they go down to Florida and are only able to net a point in two games against the Florida Panthers and the Tampa Bay Lightning. And they had to charge back to get that point in Tampa Bay. And then in New Jersey, ultimately get the bonus point in a shootout with the New Jersey Devils, but then come home and really play a great, complete game. Kirill Kaprizov had a goal and three assists, and a lot of names got on the score sheet. So I'm sure Dean Evason and Bill Guerin were thrilled.
Yeah, you're right. I think this has been a team that's been able to kind of hit the reset button fairly quickly after games. I think win or loss, that's kind of the attitude they're trying to have and play with. You know, I think, like you said, you know, to go into Florida and split with only getting a point, you know, to only get a point out of the shootout loss. Yeah, I think that was, you know, that was a kind of a tough back-to-back. You know, you're going against the top team in the NHL and the Panthers. And then to go into Tampa, the reigning, you know, back-to-back Stanley Cup champions. You know, I think the Wild felt good coming out of that Tampa game, even though it was a shootout loss. But again, you know, to kind of reset, and it wasn't their cleanest effort in New Jersey. You know, that was pretty much all Cam Talbot from the first period on to, you know, kind of get them to that shootout. But yeah, I think there was some positives to be had, but clearly that performance on home ice Friday afternoon, very assertive. Like I said, I think that was probably one of the most complete games this team has played this season. And, you know, now the challenge is to do it again and again and again.
Yeah, and that's been really a positive for this group, is that they haven't let a bad game linger. And I would assume the mindset is the same after a game like that, where they cruise 7-1, that won't linger as well in a new challenge tomorrow with the defending champ Tampa Bay Lightning coming to town.
Yeah, you're right, especially with this opponent. You know, this, like we said, right. This was just a team that the Wild faced not too long ago on the road and lost in a shootout, and it took, you know, a fast finish again in the third period to even get to extra time. So, you know, I think that's very much kind of the mindset this team wants to have. The past is the past, and the present is kind of where the focus is at, and, you know, that'll, you know, be where the team needs to have its attention, you know, with this lineup coming up, the slate of games on this homestand starting next with Tampa Bay, which has had success lately.
We can't, in a 7-1 victory, forget about the goaltending, even though it's easy to when you win by six. But Cam Talbot was stellar in that matinee on Friday afternoon against the Winnipeg Jets. And maybe one of the criticisms against this club is that, well, at times they've had good goaltending. In general, the goaltending hasn't been spectacular, but it certainly was on Friday.
Yeah, that's been a couple games now where it looks like Talbot is kind of getting on a roll. He's been really tough to beat, obviously. Like I said, I think he was the reason why the Wild was able to get to a shootout in New Jersey and snag that extra point. He's been almost, you know, unbeatable these last few games. And it looked, you know, looked like for most of Friday's game that maybe he was heading towards his first shutout of the season. But, you know, I know the win column is the number that matters most to him. And he's been effective there. You know, he's been in net for the bulk of this team's success this season. And this is a team that I think, you know, despite the talent up front, it's still very much built and predicated on what happens in its own end. And that's been an area, especially lately, too, the defense, that's been steady for the Wild these last few games, and just kind of being tight and clean. And I think that efficient hockey, obviously, is key for the team moving forward.
Well, the schedule, you get the feel that they're going almost every other day now until the middle of December. I looked at the schedule when I was sitting in for Henry Lake last night, and it does feel like that. There is a lot of hockey between now and the middle of December. So buckle up. The Wild are going to need to take advantage of depth and just get through it.
It is busy, you're right. And, you know, it hasn't been a lot of practice days. It's a lot of travel. It all balances out at some point, 41 home and 41 road. But I think that's why this team is kind of eyeing up this homestand, just as an opportunity to establish that home ice advantage, because the team just hasn't been at Xcel Energy Center as much as it has been on the road. So it's an opportunity. And, you know, I think overall the team's played well at home. So these are important points to bank. Especially, like you said, the schedule isn't going to ease up, and the team goes back for, you know, on the road for a lengthy trip next week. So it doesn't ease up, and I think that's why there's this opportunity at hand with this homestand to capitalize, bank some points, and, you know, see obviously where that shakes out in the standings. But right now, the Wild is sitting atop the Central Division. So it's a strong start by the team.
Yeah, they get the game on Sunday, and then they will be going Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday back-to-back, Kelly in Vegas, and then home against Carolina, Buffalo in Florida. It's just amazing how this thing is blocked out. Really, right up until Christmas almost, before they start to get a little bit of a breather schedule-wise. Now, Sarah, as a beat writer, a trip through California as you approach the middle of December is not a bad thing.
You mean you like the sunshine more than the snow?
Yeah, I know you were born in Canada. I was born and raised here in Minnesota. Yeah, I like California in the winter months. I like Arizona in the winter months.
Yeah, that's going to be a long, challenging trip. Like you just mentioned, LA, you know, Vegas back to back. Yeah, cooler right. temperatures, but warmer temperatures, I should say. But intensity, I'd expect on the ice too. So. But look at the weather we're having today. You know, you really can't complain about temperatures like this after Thanksgiving, right?
No, I got the snow thrower out of the shed today and fired it up for the season. But by the looks of the forecast, I won't need it anytime soon. And I'm okay with that. I'm just fine. One other thing I wanted to get is as far as injury and illness go, where does the club stand on this Saturday with Tampa Bay coming to town for a matinee?
Yeah, Matt Zuccarello, he'll be a game-time decision tomorrow against Tampa Bay. He left Friday's game early. He got slashed. He didn't practice on Saturday. He was sore. So he'll be a player to watch as a game-time decision against Tampa Bay.
All right. Well, very good, Sarah. Enjoy your coverage and certainly do appreciate when you're able to join us.
Take care, Steve.
All right, Sarah McClellan, Wild beat writer for the Star Tribune online at startribune.com. And a rousing 7-1 victory, great goaltending. Kirill Kaprizov, a goal and three assists. A lot of names on the score sheet. And now the Tampa Bay Lightning tomorrow, and that is a 1 o'clock game. How convenient with the Vikes playing in San Francisco later in the day. When we come back, a ton of football scores, Big Ten top 25. Bad news on the local playoff scoreboard. St. John's and Bemidji State still alive, but they won't advance beyond today. We'll have those scores in a moment here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. Big day in college football, D2, D3 playoffs involving local teams. And then, of course, the Big Ten and Top 25. Some huge rivalry games around the country today. We'll get into all of that. Let's get into the scores right now. First, D3 playoffs. Clemens Stadium, Collegeville. Linfield of Oregon comes in to take on St. John's in the Division III second round, and Linfield wins at 31-28. We expect a game report on that one a little bit later on. But St. John's got behind. A furious rally in the fourth quarter comes up short. Once again, Linfield wins at St. John's, and the Johnnies' unbeaten season comes to an end. Chris Back has 15-36, 254 yards, 3 touchdowns, 2 picks. Henry Trost, they held him down today, 17 carries, 60 yards, and a touchdown. Wyatt Smith, the Linfield quarterback, 28-42, 173 yards, 3 touchdowns, no picks. The Johnny season comes to an end. Meanwhile, Division II playoffs in the third in Colorado. Colorado Mines all over Bemidji State, 48-6. Bemidji State went into Augustana last week and won in Sioux Falls. And, of course, UMD got beat by Angelo State. So Bemidji State, the sole survivor into the second round. And they're down big at Colorado Mines, 48-6 there. Let's get to some of the other scores now around the country in the top 25. Huge game in the Big Ten. Actually, it's called The Game. And it was Michigan and Ohio State. And Hassan Haskins had 5 touchdowns on the run, on the ground, as Michigan beat Ohio State 42-27 at the Big House today. And Jim Harbaugh gets it done. And the Michigan Wolverines, with one loss, certainly in the mix, you would think now, for the playoff. We'll see how all that shakes out when they announce the latest college football playoff rankings. Meanwhile, Before we get to the rest, to the Big Ten scoreboard, we have another state champion crowned a moment ago. Dazzle Cokato beat Plainview Elgin Millville 28-21 just a moment ago. And Dazzle Cokato once again beating Plainview Elgin Millville 28-21 to win the state title today at U.S. Bank Stadium. So congratulations. And that was the 3A championship. Still coming, the 5A title game between Mankato West and Matamidi. All right, let's get back to the Big Ten scoreboard. In the second, number 12 Michigan State leading Penn State 14-7. Through one quarter, Illinois all over Northwestern 14-0. After one, Indiana and Purdue tied at 7. In the first, at Huntington Bank Stadium, Minnesota leading number 14 Wisconsin 3-0. If the Badgers win, they keep the axe, and they'll go to the Big Ten title game. If Minnesota wins, they get the axe, and Iowa goes to the Big Ten title game. We already talked about number 5 Michigan beating number 2 Ohio State 42-27, a huge win in the game. Maryland took down Rutgers 40-16, and on Friday, number 16 Iowa came back, outscoring Nebraska 19-0 in the fourth to win it 28-21, and that gave Iowa the opportunity to go to the Big Ten title game. Let's check the top 25 scoreboard while we have a moment on this Saturday afternoon here at News Talk 830 WCCO. Once again, a ton of great rivalry games today around the country. The Iron Bowl, number 3 Alabama, Auburn underway, second quarter still scoreless. It was number 11 Oregon leading Oregon State 17-3. That game in quarter number 2. Also, number 1 Georgia all over Georgia Tech 45-0 today. Baylor beat Texas Tech, number 8 Baylor 27-24, the win there. Some other rivalry games. Bedlam coming up tonight. Number 10, Oklahoma at number 7, Oklahoma State in Stillwater. Number 23, Clemson takes on South Carolina tonight. Number 6, Notre Dame against Stanford. Number 13, BYU against USC. How about this rivalry game on Thursday? The Egg Bowl, number 9, Ole Miss beat Mississippi State 31-21. So there you go, some of the rivalries among the top 25 today. And we also want to point out we have Timberwolves today, a rare Saturday matinee, actually our pregame show at 4:35 with Cal Soderquist, and then Alan Horton with all the play-by-play from Philly tonight just after 5 o'clock. Timberwolves played poorly defensively last night and got blown out by Charlotte. The Hornets made a ridiculous 23 three-pointers in the game last night as they rolled to a victory last night. We'll talk more with Cal about that and as the Timberwolves try and turn the page and start another winning streak once again on the road at Philadelphia tonight. Just around the corner following the weather, Ben Burke will join us, head football coach at Lakeville South. They beat Maple Grove 13-7 at U.S. Bank Stadium to win the 6A football title here in the state of Minnesota. Then Cal joins us. We'll go outdoors with Steve Carney, and we'll have another look at all the football scores. And who knows, maybe get a game report from Clemens Stadium in Collegeville, where the Johnnies got beat by Linfield of Oregon. It is 3:28 here at News Talk, 830-WCCO. An update on the weather now here at News Talk, 830-WCCO, 41 degrees. And our winds are a factor, northwest at 12 miles an hour. For tonight, clear, low near 25. And then on Sunday, Sunday not quite as warm with 36, but still not bad. Sunday night, there's a chance of a wintry mix. Shouldn't be a big deal. And it stands at about 30% in any one spot overnight Sunday night. And then on Monday, sunny and mild, 46, 42 on Tuesday, near 50 on Wednesday. Thursday, it looks like 46. And then 39 on Friday. But the mild, quiet weather continues into the first part of November. Here in the Twin Cities now, 41 degrees at News Talk, 830-WCCO. Prep Bowl, one game to go at U.S. Bank Stadium. We had four champions crowned on Friday. Two already today, one to go, Mankato West and Matamidi for the 5A title coming up. We want to revisit the 6A championship game last night, and it was a defensive struggle. Scoreless at the half, Maple Grove took a 7-0 lead. Lakeville South responded with a drive of their own to make it 7-7. Lone touchdown in the fourth turned out to be the game winner. Camden Dean takes it 52 yards up the middle. Missed extra point, didn't matter. Lakeville South, your champ, 13-7. And the head coach of Lakeville South joins us, Ben Burke. And Ben, good to visit with you, and congrats.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's good to be here.
Yeah, what a journey, what a year. It can't beat running the table and winning a state title.
Yeah, it's just, you know, for these seniors and a lot of the coaches, you know, first time in our school's history that we'd be able to kind of win that game at the end there, and kind of a dream come true moment. I heard a lot of kids talking about how they dreamt about it since they were third graders, and, you know, I've been around this community long enough to kind of see them since they were third graders, so just a really special moment for that senior class, being able to do, kind of realize their dreams and kind of win that state championship just like they dreamed about.
Yeah, and we talked earlier during the season about the great schedule you play and how this team responded and how hard they work. And then to get into a title game against an excellent football team like Maple Grove, well-coached Matt Lombardi, and go right down to the wire. I mean, that was a hard-hitting, well-played football game. Wow.
Yeah, just a lot of credit to the Maple Grove team and Coach Lombardi. Like you said, he's a really, really smart coach, especially on the defensive side of the ball. So we knew we had our work cut out for us, and they gave us one heck of a dogfight. And so I'm proud of our kids, proud of their kids for putting some really good football on display for the rest of the state to watch, and just happy we came out on top.
I mentioned Camden Dean, the decisive 52-yard touchdown run. He found a seam and took it all the way, and what a football player. I mean, it's just got to be a joy to coach that, and the entire group. I mean, he can't do it alone. Everybody else on that offense, everybody else on that defense and special teams, but he had a tremendous game.
Yeah, and, you know, just for him personally, you know, we made a change to that power T offense that we run when he was a ninth grader, and we knew he'd be a good quarterback, and he's probably looking at us like, what the heck are you doing? You know, I want to throw the ball. But, you know, he's just a tremendous leader, outstanding team-first attitude. And, you know, I think, you know, coaches around have seen that, and he'll be able to move on and play football at Mankato here next fall. And, you know, I think due in large part to his leadership and his toughness and his grit, you know, he's willing to put his shoulder down if he needs to. And you kind of saw in that game he's going to put the team on his back when we needed him. I think Maple Grove did a really good job kind of bottling up some of the other stuff we do. It kind of opened things up for the quarterback, and he was able to capitalize and really kind of lead us where we needed him to and inspire the rest of the offense to play as well as they needed to finish out that game. So just super proud of Camden. And like you said, the rest of that senior class is full of really good football players. So he didn't do it alone, but he definitely led the whole group.
When you look at this game and how it played out, two high-scoring offenses, to have this thing 0-0 at the half, going into the locker room to talk it over, that had to be a surprise. I know I was.
Yeah, you know, sometimes you can't make errors in that big a moment, and you know, I think we offensively were cautious and calling our plays, and they were really physical up front and did some things that we hadn't seen a lot the course of the year, and so it took a little bit of an adjustment. But, you know, our coaching staff is really, really good at making adjustments and getting the kids coached up at halftime. And then credit to the defense. You know, that's the one thing is you look at our team, oh, you weren't scoring as many points as you normally do. Well, the defense was doing their job. And that, to be able to hold that offense to 0 points in the first half was exactly what we needed from a team standpoint. And it was sort of bend but don't break at the end, but they were able to kind of get it done. And just a credit to those kids who are listening to the coaches during the breaks and during the week leading up to the practice, leading up to that thing. And I just felt like our defense was extremely prepared and and was able to do exactly what they were coached to do.
A big spot. Maple Grove goes on a drive. They get a touchdown pass. Great throw, great catch. Kills her to all back. Extra point. They're up 7-0. But the way your team responded on a drive of their own to make it 7-7 at the end of three quarters was huge to me. How did you see that drive and how your team responded?
I think, you know, to be honest with you, that's how they've been. They're a team that we always talk about response. We talk about how we can't control things that are outside of our own attitude and our effort. And so we really, really coach the response. It's something we talk about before every game. You're going to have something go wrong. You're going to have the other team's full of talented players too. And so you got to be able to weather storms and respond. And it's not the guy who punches first. It's the guy who punches last that usually wins. And so for them to be able to just in another game, kind of use that tool and that preparation and the discipline approach that they bring to the game to rally at that moment, and for another one for Camden to kind of not be content to run out of bounds but to make a move and put his shoulder down and get into the end zone was exactly what we needed. And then they did a good job of bottling us up again later in the game, and so they really made it tough on us. And just, you know, credit to those kids at Maple Grove. I know that today is not a moment that they're feeling really good. But they should be really proud of everything they accomplished this year, too. But, it, you know, at the end of the day, big players make big plays in big situations, and we had enough of those.
Yeah, and that's that offense. And what you run is that, you know, teams 9 times out of 10 can keep you bottled up. But as we saw in Dean's decisive 52-yard touchdown run in the fourth, he needed a seam. Maybe there was a mistake defensively or someone didn't make exactly the right read, and all of a sudden he's gone.
Well, that's, you know, part of the deal with having three backs in the backfield and then a quarterback that can run the ball is there's 8 gaps to defend and 4 different backs that could go through them. And if we're doing our fakes right during the course of the game, you don't know who has the ball. And when we call his number, if he runs as hard as he does on his fakes, then you don't know who has it. And, you know, to his credit and that offensive line we got, you know, they're not the biggest group, but they're the most disciplined. And, you know, especially Wyatt and Wyatt Ron, who had a really, really good block on that second one. But even on the first one, he, you know, had an opportunity to really knock a kid over or get a penalty, but he didn't. He executed his technique. And it's just, you know, those old linemen don't get a lot of credit for some of those big runs that Cam or Carson Hansen have, but they're kind of instrumental and being able to do that and open up holes. And like you said, every once in a while one pops, and Maple Grove did a really good job of keeping those things wrapped up, but we had enough when we needed it. And, you know, individually guys just at their moment, they umbrella and you just took on the bright lights of the stadium, and the moment wasn't too big for them.
Yeah, what a great experience. 6A title game on Channel 45, and you celebrate that title last night, and you celebrate again today. And I suppose the next big step is kind of that end of the season banquet. And I know that's always emotional because you're always saying goodbye to a great group, and now you're saying goodbye to state champions, and they're going to take the next step. And you know the next thing in all of this is, you know, you celebrate and then move on, Ben.
Yeah, you know, you said it perfectly. Our moments are fleeting with the group that we have. And, you know, for a lot of us, we've seen that group just kind of grow and mature over the course of 4 years. And just it's been quite a journey for that group of seniors. And, you know, we'll have our banquet, like you said, and it's a lot better to have a banquet when you don't win the game. And it's more fun that way for them to celebrate. And, you know, hopefully we can do a good job of, you know, keeping in touch with those boys, but we're just really excited about who they are and what they've done for our community. You know, just the turnaround in the last handful of years, it was real instrumental with that group. And so we're just real proud of them and excited to see what they do in their next journey.
Yeah. In a group that's been through a lot of adversity, and you think about all the kids on your football team and every football team in the state, or for that matter, you know, any student, any educator in any district in the state of Minnesota, it's been a journey for the last year and a half plus.
Yeah, and something I tell the kids a lot is that tough times make tough people. And so one of the things I love about coaching football is that we get to intentionally put people in really tough situations and test their mettle. We do it in a controlled environment of a football game. And hopefully if you learn those lessons of toughness and discipline and you've got a brotherhood of guys around you, you can withstand things later on in your life. And so that's really what we're trying to teach them. And hopefully that the things that they take from this and the success is that you put in the work and you get rewarded. And it's really fun as a coach to kind of see them realize that. And we're just looking forward to the next group that comes through. And hopefully we can keep those lessons going and a lot of success too.
Well, Ben, congrats on a phenomenal year and a great run at Lakeville South and a 6A title and really a terrific title game. Lakeville South beating Maple Grove 13-7. Good to visit with you. Thanks for the time.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
All right. There he is. Once again, Ben Burke joining us, head coach Lakeville South. They are the champs in 6A. One of four champions crowned on Friday over at U.S. Bank Stadium. Once again, the first game of the day, Mayor Lutheran beat Perennial Power Mineota 20-14 to win 1A. And then in the 2A title game, Chatfield beat Wes Central Ashby 14-13. Even though their star quarterback wasn't available, he was suspended for the game because he was ejected in the semifinals and by rule had to sit out. They challenged it in court. The courts wouldn't intervene. Chatfield wins anyway. And 4A, Hutchinson rolls over Cass and Manorville 42-14, as we mentioned. In 6A, Lakeville South beat Maple Grove 13-7. And then in action today, we already have two state champions who have been crowned. And once again, one game to go. That is the 5A championship game. The number one team all year, Mankato West, takes on Matamidi. That's scheduled to start at about 4 o'clock. Already in the books in 3A, Dazzle Cokato beat Plainview Elgin Millville 28-21. And in the nine-man game to open the day this morning at 10 a.m., Leroy Ostrander all over Fertile Beltrami 58-8. So congrats to the state champions and all the participants this year. Quick break. We have much more on a Sports Saturday here at News Talk, A3O WCCO, including a chat with Cal Soderquist of the Timberwolves Radio Network. Cal takes over at 4:30 today. The Wolves continue the road trip in Philadelphia. Not a good game defensively last night for the Timberwolves. Charlotte rolls over Minnesota the final 133-115. Charlotte shot the lights out from the perimeter. We'll get a read on that. And tonight's tilt with Cal in a moment here on News Talk, A3O WCCO. Timberwolves and Sixers from Philly will get started at 4:30. Cal Soderquist on the pregame show. Alan Horton with all the play-by-play. And the Twins try and put that game in Charlotte in the rearview mirror quickly. They got beat by the Hornets 133-115. The number that stood out for me, we talked about it a lot on the call-in show following. The Hornets go 23-40 from deep, 57.5. I don't think you need to say any more about that game than that number right there, Cal. Timberwolves did not guard the perimeter, and the Hornets took advantage.
Yeah, I think you're right. One of their poorest performances defensively of the entire season, and maybe you expected a little bit of a regression in that area just with the loss of Pat Beverly, the groin injury that's going to keep him out. Head coach Chris Finch said before yesterday's game that Pat Bev will be reevaluated in a couple weeks. So they're going to have to figure it out. But I think even with him out of the lineup, Chris Finch and his coaching staff were still pretty disappointed in some of the defensive things that they saw from the guys who were out there and healthy. So, yeah, a chance to sort of erase that one and distance themselves from it quickly because, the games come hot and heavy right away here tonight.
Yeah, and we're pretty much at the quarter pole of the season with the game tonight. That'll be game number 20 of 82 this season for the Timberwolves. And the one thing we had seen going into that game in Charlotte is legitimate progress on the defensive side. Alan threw out a lot of numbers at the end of that game last night that really stood out as far as a big step back defensively. And let's just hope that's a blip in the radar tonight. And as you pointed out, they got a ton of games coming up, particularly against the Eastern Conference and some of the better teams in the Eastern Conference. Now, Indiana may not fit that category at home at Target Center on Monday night, but tonight, Philly on the road, this is another solid club.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think Indiana does fit the category just in the sense that they're, a lot of the guys in that team, you know, have experience playing well, playing 500 basketball or better. So, yeah, right now they're struggling a little bit, three games below 500. But at the same time, it's, you know, that game against the Heat on Wednesday basically was kind of the start of what will really be a gauntlet of a schedule for the Timberwolves. And we'll learn a lot about this team when they emerge on the other side of it. It's basically like the next 15 to 20 games, I want to say, where it's really a competitive club every single night. And now Minnesota, you know, you mentioned the defense and the step back, or, you know, Carl Anthony Towns was asked about that last night, if he considered it a step back, and he thought it was more of a trip up. And I thought that was a good way to put it for Cat and his teammates, because they've said and done all the right things so far this season, especially, you know, during that five-game win streak, about how they're learning to lean on their defense and to win games with their defense, even if, you know, the shots aren't falling, or if a couple of the guys in the big three are having rough shooting nights and one guy's carrying the load offensively. If your defense is there, then many nights that's enough. You know, one or two guys feeling it and hitting shots down the stretch, and your defense keeps you in the game up until that point. I think that the team is kind of learning that that can be a formula for wins, where, you know, in previous seasons, even on nights when they played well, it was largely because the offense really found a groove up and down the roster, and they were able to just kind of race past teams with offensive prowess. So I think the team recognizes that the defense has to be where they hang their hat, especially with the success they've had this year. It just may be an adjustment in the short term, you know, kind of filling the void of all the things that Pat Beverly does so well, both as a defensive chess piece and being able to kind of shut down and pester another team's perimeter player, but also as sort of a vocal leader on the defensive side of the basketball as well. I think it's going to take everyone to kind of step up and pick up the slack in that department.
Going back to the game in Charlotte, and hopefully it's an outlier for the Timberwolves as they go a game below 500, was a real quiet night for Anthony Edwards. And Ant was such a big factor in that terrific win over the Miami Heat in front of a great crowd at Target Center. And just, no question, the high water mark of this season so far for the Minnesota Timberwolves. That win in Milwaukee was pretty good. The win over the Lakers at Staples was great. But there's no doubt the win over Miami on Wednesday night, and Ant was right in the middle of it.
Yeah, I think so. And I think, you know, Chris Finch said some interesting things about Ant. I want to say it was after, you know, the career-high 48-point night against the Warriors, and just kind of discussing the special talent that Ant has. And maybe the next step in his development for him is trying to do it more consistently despite getting all the attention from an opposing defense. You know, and I think Ant is still feeling it out in the sense that he's got some really offensively talented teammates in Carl Anthony Towns and D'Angelo Russell that obviously also need some touches on that end of the basketball. So Ant has to kind of feel his way through the game, pick and choose his spots while also still remaining aggressive. You know, we saw him in one of the recent wins during that win streak. He came out and basically was the guy who led the charge in an early, you know, maybe it was the Memphis win where Ant, he had 17 points on a perfect 6 of 6 shooting in a 40-point first quarter against the Grizzlies last week. So he's kind of learning, I think, you know, when to really be aggressive and when to defer to his teammates at times. But also what Chris Finch said was, you know, it has to evolve into an every night thing, where if you're that talented, you can't have, you know, there's only a handful all season, a handful of those clunker games. And Chris Finch has obviously worked with guys like James Harden, Anthony Davis, some of the real elite scorers in this league. And it's hard to continue to progress your game and get to that next step. But Ant has all the tools. He has all the talent in the world. And still, you know, he's such a young player that he's already developed so quickly. And now these next steps might be the toughest steps. But you know, his coaching staff and his teammates have full belief and full confidence that he'll get there. That's just going to kind of be the next step in his evolution, is kind of minimizing those games like last night, where the shots aren't falling and, you know, he's failing to sort of impact the game in ways that he's used to.
Hopefully that changes tonight. We have an early start, 4:30 pregame show. Cal takes over Alan Horton with all the play-by-play. And Cal, give us a quick preview of what we've got coming up on that pregame show a little over 35 minutes away.
Yeah, well, actually, you know, with the holiday season in full swing, we had the Thanksgiving holiday this week, and the Wolves have been active in the community. It's always a time for players and coaches to kind of get out in their Twin Cities community here and give back and work with organizations that they're passionate about. So we'll hear from Carl Anthony Towns about his coach drive that he has going on. We'll also hear from head coach Chris Finch, and then we'll also get an update from Iowa Wolves head coach Jeff Newton. The Iowa Wolves had kind of a break in their schedule, so they were up here last week working out with the Wolves here at Mayo Clinic Square, and Alan Horton had a chance to catch up with Coach Newton. So we'll get a full breakdown of how their season has gone so far.
All right, always look forward to it. Cal, you do a great job. Alan's terrific. And we should appreciate your time on Saturdays as you're getting ready for that pregame show.
Of course, yeah. Anytime, Steve. Thank you for the kind words, and let's try to get one back here tonight.
Yeah, no doubt. Start a new winning streak for the Timberwolves and get right back to 500 at 10-10. There he is, Cal Soderquist. You'll hear him at 4:30 on the pregame show. Alan Horton with all the play-by-play. You'll, of course, hear Cal at the half and on the postgame show tonight as well. And then when the Timberwolves return home on Monday night, don't forget, Indiana in town, Henry Lake with the call-in show following those games on weeknights. Here at News Talk, E30 WCCO. Let's check some scores. Once again, D3 playoffs. Bad news. St. John's loses at home at Clemens Stadium in Collegeville. The Linfield of Oregon, 31-28. The Johnny's unbeaten season comes to an end today. They were ranked number 5 going into play today. And bad news for Bemidji State. They're in the D2 playoffs playing at Colorado Mines. Colorado Mines led it 48-6 in the third. They go on to a 55-6 win. So the Beavers season comes to an end out in Colorado today. So no local teams, or at least Minnesota teams, alive in the D2 or D3 playoffs. Some scores of note real quickly. Out of the Big Ten, in progress, number 12 Michigan State hosting Penn State. They're tied at 14 early in quarter number 2. Illinois all over Northwestern in Champain early as second, 28-0. The Battle of Indiana, Purdue leading Indiana 14-7. That's early in the second in West Lafayette. Midway through the first, Minnesota leading Wisconsin 3-0 at Huntington Bank Stadium. That game kicked off just after 3 o'clock today. How about the game in Ann Arbor? Number 5 Michigan all over number 2 Ohio State, 42-27. Haskins, 5 touchdowns in the game for the Wolverines. And it was Maryland beating Rutgers 40-16 today. So you're up to date on the Big Ten scoreboard. We should probably check the weather one more time. And the weather's just downright benign in these parts as we head for the end of November and the start of December. We're at 41 degrees in the Twin Cities. Northwest winds at 12 miles an hour. Tonight, clear skies, a low of 25. Tomorrow, sunny and cooler, but still 36. There's a chance of a wintry mix moving in overnight. Shouldn't be a big deal. By Monday, sunny and 46. Tuesday, sunny and 42. Partly sunny near 50 on Wednesday. Thursday, mostly sunny and 46. Next Friday, partly sunny and 39 degrees. So this quiet, mild weather trend continues into early November. I'll take it. I know there's others who want to get out and do some ice fishing or snowmobiling or skiing. Don't see any of that in the near term. 41 now here in the Twin Cities with the news and weather coming up at 4 o'clock.
T T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.